This show is fucked up. Listen, first the fat boys break up. Now every day I wake up, somebody got a problem with hope. What's up, y'all niggas all fed up? Cause I got a little cheddar and my record's moving out the store.
Alabama. And this is on a truthout.org. And this one's put up by Ella Fassler. All right, Ella Fassler for truthout.org. And it opens up. This article has an image from 1995 with prisoners on a chain gang, and they're being taken out for work detail by an armed guard in the Limestone Correctional Facility in Harvest, Alabama. All right. So now let's see here. So going back to March 25th, 2019, not too long ago, Christopher Caldwell reportedly found himself nearly immobile, shackled to a bucket at the Limestone Correctional Facility in Alabama. His pant legs were taped up, and his belly, feet, and hands were shackled. They shackled his belly.
Wow.
Caldwell's handcuffs were shackled to his belly, preventing him from moving his hands above his waist. Caldwell had just been transferred to the prison from a relatively coveted work release center and had already undergone extensive precautionary entrance procedures, several body cavity searches, metal detectors, drug dogs. But per Captain Patrick Robinson's bucket detail policy, known colloquially as shitting in a bucket, or just known literally,
right,
Caldwell's processing wasn't complete. After guards placed him in a cell, shackled, and to tape him. You have a notification.
Oh, yeah. I have a swap meeting coming up tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Phoenix Leader has a swap meeting, had a show notification. Bing, bang, blam. She's going to record the Wednesday swap after we're done recording this. Yeah, didn't even see that one coming. Come on.
My boss is an asshole, y'all.
Huh?
Huh?
El Ola. We got Daria images in here.
We do.
They're pretty good. Alright, so shitting in the bucket. Caldwell's processing wasn't complete. After the guards placed him in a cell, shackled and taped him, he was told his restraints would not be removed until he shat 6 times.
What the fuck? But you can't wipe your ass!
Wouldn't that, like, for me, with my diet right now, that would take me just about, like, just under 5 days.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the average person shits, like, once a day or once every other day. But then, of course, that's also based on how many fruits and vegetables and how much fiber you get. I cannot imagine a prison diet is healthy, so maybe you're shitting, like, once every 3 days?
Ah. So, 6 times.
Oh, my God.
Do they even change the bucket in between these 6 times?
Well, I mean, they won't even let you wipe your ass, so I'm just going to assume no. And also, how do they know if you shat 6 times? Like, does it have to be, like, a weight requirement? You know what I mean? Because, like...
Do they watch? Do you just have to... You better get a
guard
every time?
It's just, like, some weird thing where they're being filmed and don't know it, and it's, like, on some, like, underground German porn site or something. Like, I don't... I mean, I know. It sounds like... I mean, I don't know. I don't fucking... Like, this doesn't make sense. This is so fucking unsanitary.
Yeah.
But then again, with the way they treat... you know, people in women's prisons with the fucking not giving them tampons and pads.
And, Caldwell was bound to the bucket in a cell without running water for 5 days. His pleas for help were either ignored by guards or met with, mace threats. After confined individual, another confined individual subjected to the, shitting in the bucket practice, an individual by the name of Daniel Bolden, seems familiar.
It does.
Maybe that's a common white name, but that sounds familiar. And he said that his memories of, quote, eating like a dog due to constrained hands are etched into his mind. Unable to shower, he was forced to lie near and in his own feces and urine.
Wait. So you're shacked, so like you're sitting on the bucket, right?
Yeah.
And your hands are shackled at your waist.
Yep.
So when they bring you food, do they literally, like, put it in your hands? Because if they just, like, I've never been to a prison, but, you know, like in the movies, they like slip shit through the door or whatever. If they do that, how do you have to get, like, crawl to the
He said bucket? Eat like a dog, so I'm pretty sure he means, like, actually putting your face up to the food without your hands.
But how do you get to the plate of food, is what I'm saying. Because if you, like, lean over to crawl, anything that's in the bucket is gonna leak out because gravity is a thing.
Yeah. So what?
Jesus.
Europeans come up with good systems. This rehabilitates them. If they did anything violent at all.
If they did anything at all.
Anything. They kind of like subtitled a segment in this article, The Normalization of Torture and Assault. A prisoner and organizer who goes by the pseudonym Potential hasn't spent time at Limestone, but has spoken with others who have. He said they have told him that Limestone is a different breed of prison. It has its own rules, and no one wants to go there. The folks from the Truth Out website, they spoke with someone that's just going to go by Jane, a mother whose son is currently confined at Limestone, and Jane wishes to remain anonymous, fearing retaliation against her son.
Right.
Surveillance cameras are not common at Limestone, she told. Another prisoner tried to sexually assault her son, but she said, but when he reported the incident, there was no evidence to support the complaint. And when a prisoner is placed in lockup, also known as administrative segregation, they are generally handled one-on-one.
Administrative segregation.
Yeah.
That is a very sanitized way to say. Yeah. All right.
And yeah, so they're handled one-on-one in that situation without oversight from guards on duty, according to Potential. Jane's son hasn't been subjected to bucket detail himself, but has described it to her. Quote, everyone knows it goes on here, end quote. Continuing the quote, lockup is so crowded that ADOC, the Alabama Department of Corrections, started putting men in closets with the bucket for several days.
What the fuck?
These conversations follow a Department of Justice DOJ report released April 2nd, 2019, where the agency concluded that Alabama prisons, including Limestone, constitute cruel and unusual punishment, a violation against the Eighth Amendment. The report focused on ways the ADOC fails to protect prisoners from prisoner-on-prisoner violence and prisoner-on-prisoner sexual abuse. Rape. The DOJ's investigation into the Alabama prison staff's use of excessive force and sexual abuse is an issue pending with the court. According to whether DOJ will release a report of this investigation, but preliminary conversations with those close to the Alabama prison system indicate a second report would probably not be any less damning than a first report, and this is a bit of a lengthy article from Truth Out. We're going to have this linked with the web post for this episode of The Wine Cellar.
Yes.
And Phoenix Kalita has stuff and things.
I do have stuff and things. So these are just more headlines because I want to make sure people know. So I'm just going to just do it real quick. The Trump administration, because they love the poorly
educated.
Or just the poor.
All right.
So the Trump administration is considering redefining poverty, which would cut millions of Americans from welfare rolls. The Trump said that they might change the way they determine the national poverty threshold, which puts Americans living on the margins at risk of losing access to welfare programs. The possible move would involve changing how inflation is calculated in the official poverty measure. So basically, yeah, a bunch of y'all white niggas is about to fucking get kicked off. Lisa Loco just texted me. That was totally random. I'm sorry. But said someone that in a group we're in that has nothing to do with, like, wine cellar stuff follows the wine cellar.
Someone in a group?
Like, yeah, someone. It's like a food group that me and her are in. And said somebody follows the wine cellar. All right.
It's healthy for them.
Yes. Yes. All right. So that's fun. And it appears to be a black person. All right. So anyway, yeah, you know, this is something that they constantly do, constantly cutting welfare benefits and blah, blah, blah. And Obama did it too, even though nobody wants to talk about it because everybody fucking loves Obama. But that's a thing. And you should know that that's a thing and that might be happening. So pay attention, please. Not just to the ridiculous things he says on Twitter, but to his actual policies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. And then also, there might be a generic HIV prevention drug coming in 2020.
All right. Something similar to whatever commercial they run when we're watching Drag Race.
Truvada, yeah. Yeah, a generic Truvada, basically. Okay. Yeah, so, yay. There's that.
Yeah, fair deal.
Yeah.
Fair deal.
So, right. I gave you that little one line of happiness because I'm about to do this to you.
What? Cory Booker is going to support this new drug.
Mm-hmm. So a man who tortured a two-year-old, I don't know if y'all heard about the, did you hear about the werewolf mask guy?
No.
All right. So let's start from the beginning. This is almost like two stories in one because I can't tell you the update unless you know the backstory because then the update doesn't make sense. So, Pensacola, Florida, and this is not a funny Florida story. It is Florida, but it's not funny. A Florida man who has already previously been acquitted in the killing of a child was arrested last month and charged with torturing his girlfriend's two-year-old daughter, sometimes while wearing a werewolf mask. Andrew Bennett Ross Salias, I'm sure I nailed that name, who is 37 from Pensacola, was arrested April 9th and charged with 6 counts of aggravated child abuse, 4 counts of child abuse, and a variety of drug charges, possession of a weapon, tampering with evidence, and a probation violation, according to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Another man, Eric Everett Fernandes, age 36 of Pensacola, was arrested Tuesday and charged with trying to destroy evidence in the case after Ross Salaus had been taken into custody. He has since been booked on drug charges. So, the county sheriff, David Morgan, said the evidence that Fernandes is accused of destroying is cell phones that contained images of the alleged abuse. Right. So, from what they have said, and they have not said a lot because this was a young child, it's mostly physical abuse, although there were suspicions of sexual abuse committed against this two-year-old child. And then after being locked up, Ross Salaus tried to kill himself like 2 weeks ago after he was formally arraigned and brought up on child abuse charges. Okay? Right. So, the victim in the current case is not the first toddler Ross Salaus is accused of harming. He was charged with murder in 2006 of two-year-old Kyler Janes after the boy was hospitalized with bruises all over his body and bleeding in his brain and eyes. The boy had been seen in the emergency room at Sacred Heart Hospital in Pensacola 5 times before for a variety of injuries. He was tried, but found not guilty. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is what happened in 2006. Now, a couple weeks ago, he gets arrested for, oh my God, the same exact thing.
13 years later, ain't changed.
Ain't changed. So here's the update. Emperor William.
Yes.
You can take the day off.
What? Oh. Antifa did it. Can they please just act like ISIS and just take credit for Every time a Nazi slips on a roller skate at the top of a staircase.
Antifa was here!
Yeah.
Andrew Bennett Ross Salaus, 37, of Pensacola, was hospitalized after spending nearly a month behind bars and because he was found hanging in his cell at 11 p.m. that night. The inmate was taken to a local hospital where family members opted to remove his life support.
No.
He died at 1:13 p.m. that day.
There you go.
There you go.
And that's a good way to end the week of Wine Cellar.
Yeah.
I hope that was the end.
No, that was the end.
That was the... Okay, that's the actual end of the week. All right, folks.
It's just weird to hear you be like, it's the end of the week. I'm like, nigga, it's Sunday. What?
Yeah, we just recorded the week on Sunday. I'm bumping into shit. It's new studio. Got to get used to what is where.
Yes.
And why it's there.
Yes.
All right. And, Okay, yeah, I think that is a good one. If you're on Patreon.com, subscribed, then you already heard this when we dropped it early. And if you're over here on Thursday, catch it on the socialized feed.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe you want to check out the old Patreon, see what the full episode sounded like.
Yes.
With a couple of extra segments and some more audio dropped into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And, of course, there's a tip jar that has nothing to do with the extra content. It's just a tip jar. paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, mm-hmm. and the link to the Amazon wish list with studio shit on it, mm-hmm. is will be linked with the web post for the episode. Alright, mm-hmm. players, please be as safe as possible wherever you are. And remember, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. You can find Phoenix Colliders, the Phoenix Colliders show for Swap.
Yes.
Find that, subscribe to it, or just go straight to the SoundCloud, type in Phoenix Colliders and sniff it up, grab it.
Yes.
And subscribe to it there. Mm-hmm. We link every episode on our social media pages anyway. If you follow when an episode's up, it's fucking linked. Check them out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Sex Workers Outreach Project, Phoenix Colliders, Director of Communications, and...
A board member.
She's Director of Communications and just the other...
board member.
She's the Director of Communications. What's the other gig?
What's the other gig?
Like, you do two things there?
Oh, yeah. I'm also on the subcommittees for the Advocacy Committee and the Grant Writing Committee.
Ah, so Advocacy Committee, Grant Writing Committee, and the Director of Communications.
Or just the Board of Directors.
She's the Communications Director. I mean, you're a director, and you communicate. You're the Director of Communications.
And, of course, don't forget, I am doing the... updates to the December 17th, which is the International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers website, where anybody who has been a sex worker who needs to be memorialized, their names are put up, any sort of information like photos, obituaries, and so on and so forth are put up. So if you know anybody who has passed on, who was a sex worker, you can feel free to send me their information. I will get it put up. It doesn't specifically have to be like, you know, somebody who like got killed doing sex work. It can just be anybody who was in the industry at all and who has passed on. So send that to me if you have it, please. And yep. Thank you.
There you have it. All right. And this shit exists because you motherfuckers make it exist. Thank you. All right.
Yes.
Please be safe.